It's John 16:24, again from the Gospel of the day. John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." The object is to have this joy. Now, there's nothing wrong with having joy. The world is full of having joy, but in very many wrong ways. We want joy through Christ. How do we get it? The very first thing is to miss him. What do I mean? Well, you look here in verse 20. Remember, this is after the Last Supper, and this is the Lord Jesus' last words with them before the cross. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Because what he's saying is that he will go away, they will be very unhappy, but he will come again. Now, that's not just about the cross and about the rising again, but it covers all time. It covers time right through, so that he is away now and we are sorrowful, but he will come. So the way to joy, first of all, is to miss Christ. You see, Christ himself prophesied it. If you look in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 15, you'll see it put there quite plainly. Matthew 9:15. "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." So when the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, is taken from us, we're sad. Now that is the very first step in getting joy, is to miss him. We read the Bible, but that's not the same as having him. We pray, but that's not the same as meeting him face to face. And the reason that we so miss him is in verse 23. It says there, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Then verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Those are two different words for ask. The first one can mean to beg someone, or it usually means to ask questions. And what the Lord Jesus is saying to them there is, you can no longer go on asking me questions. Now you remember after the parables, the Lord Jesus told them, the disciples asked him privately what it meant. And you'll find they were always being startled by things he said and always asking him, what did this mean? Well, he says, you've got to stop that. You can't go on asking me. Now, you see, the last thing he said to them is in verse 19. Now Jesus knew they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me?" I have found in my own Christian life that when I question the Lord about his timings and about what's happening, I do not get peace or joy. Jesus said, "You shall ask me nothing." In that he meant there is a perfect trust in him. So the very first step then is to miss him, and the next step is to stop asking quite so much of him. Now the reason is that we are very unhappy without him, and we want him to tell us things. In fact, we're extremely unhappy. In Romans 8 and verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body." So we have this terrible feeling that he's missing. Something is missing in life, even for the best of God's children, and we want to ask him things. So then, the very first step of joy is to miss Christ, but not to go questioning his dealings and words. The second way, Christ says, we can have complete joy is here. He says in verse 23, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, the whole object of Christ is to make us worship and love and serve and honour the Father. So then, solid joy comes from knowing God. You see, in verse 25, he says, at the end, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. He says in that verse, these things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs. And he means in parables. It's an old word, mashal, and it means things that are veiled and hidden. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. So then, the whole object of the Lord Jesus is to show us the Father. And joy comes by knowing the Father. The disciples imagined they knew the Father and they knew the Lord Jesus. You see, he says in verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because you love me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly. Thou speakest no proverb, no mashal or hidden veiled thing. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. You see, they say the moment we're sure of you, we stop this questioning. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Well, they hadn't believed, they hadn't understood. There is a lot hidden from them there. But it is this again and again that we imagine we know God when we don't really know him well. We have not known thee as we ought, nor seen thy wisdom, love and power. The things of earth have filled our thoughts, and trifles are the passing hour. So the Lord Jesus Christ shows us the Father. It's in Matthew chapter 11, and it's not very verse 27. And there he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So the Lord Jesus Christ shows us the Father plainly. And it's again in John chapter 1 and verse 18, written quite plainly there. It says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So if we think that we know God, we don't yet know God. What we need is a deeper knowledge of him if we would have this joy, this full joy in our hearts. Therefore, the ordinary person thinks they know God. They think he's very powerful and almighty, very wise, eternal. But Jesus Christ shows us more of God, that God loves sinners, that he sent his Son to die for sinners, that he justifies the ungodly, and in Christ is reconciling the world unto himself. That is the side that's hidden from the world, but with us there is more than that. There is something we need to know more of God if we would have this joy unspeakable which he speaks of. Your joy, your heart shall rejoice, he says, and that your joy may be full. Now, this wonderful joy comes as his gift. You look at chapter 15 and verse 11. It's there again. In verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So that what the Lord Jesus is saying is there, the real way to have joy is to miss the Son, to stop questioning the Son's dealings with us, and especially timings, and then to know the Father. That is the whole object. And the more we know the Father, the happier and fuller and deeper our joy will be. That is where the real joy of Christians comes. When you read the stories of revivals, I've read a lot, and when you read them, you're struck by this fact, that the ordinary people come face to face with God. They're terribly cut down by it. You can see whole swathes of room fall under the power of God's word. I was reading of one Church of England clergyman in the 19th century preaching in Suffolk, that he said as he stood on a cart and preached, that as he spoke, whole sections of the of those listening just fell on their faces, and it took them until midnight and after. He said in the end he fell backwards off a cart going down a road, and he said he felt it was the Lord's doing, because he had to go to bed for some weeks. He said he'd been up so many nights, spending the entire night counselling people who were under conviction, that he felt that he just was going to die. And he said several other ministers round did die of the strain of just dealing with the vast numbers who couldn't get peace and were just sitting in the chapels waiting to be talked to and shown the way of peace. So then, missing God is the first step, and the next step, he said, when they found God, suddenly there was tremendous joy. It was said in the great Welsh revivals that the whole of the meeting houses broke into half of them crying and even screaming in sin, and the other half absolute and abounding joy. Joy that surpassed anything human, till you couldn't hear the noise of joy from the noise of weeping, and both of them just filled the chapels as the great revival swept across Wales. Now, little was known about it in England because it was all written in Welsh, but it's a wonderful thing that happened. Something wonderful. It happened in England, it happened in Scotland, it happened even more in America. These great, great revivals. Now there's joy for you. And that joy comes from knowing God. And let your aim be to let the Lord Jesus show you more of the Father. Not to be cold and distant toward him, but be closer and closer. Now, the Lord Jesus says, to get that joy, you have to do something. And he says, "Hitherto," verse 24, "ye have asked nothing in my name." Now, you see, that word "ask" there, that word actually is an imperative. You ask. He's telling us to ask. Now, you know, this is a rogation week, and in the Middle Ages they had rogation processions, and in the processions they prayed, and there were loud prayers made. But Luther pointed out that directly he stopped the processions, the people just stopped praying. And he said that shows that you never were praying in the first place, or you'd have carried on praying. The fact is that we pray. This is one of the rogation weeks. That's why this comes up here. I was reading what Luther said about it. So we're told to pray. Now, again, I say to you, the words he uses are very well chosen. You see this word "ask" here? It's very different to the word in verse 23, "ye shall ask me nothing." That is, question me nothing. The word here means to want to get to beg him for something. It's a different way than questioning him on what he means by things. Well, now, it's easy to pray, but you know as well as I do, it's very, very difficult. The heart is very cold, it is very far from prayer, the life is very busy, and the devil soon tells us that we ought to be doing the washing or the ironing, or making up a bed, or doing something else, or doing something at work, or working with a book. He soon tells us that we shouldn't be praying. It's no time at all, he gets down to it. So it's not easy to pray. You have to overcome your own heart to pray. But there is the way of joy. Now, there's five necessary parts of prayer. The first is to rest on God's promises. You see, if we do that, in verse 23 it says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." Well, there's a promise. When you go to prayer, take a promise. If you do not take a promise, your prayers can be vacuous and vague and all along one line. They just become shopping lists. Take a promise and plead it. God has promised in his word certain things. He gives them to us in answer to prayer. But the answer is certain if we take a promise and use it. Now, I always often go back to that simple chorus I learned as a child. Every promise in the book is mine. Every word and every line, every promise in the book is mine. You'll find Spurgeon made a great deal about taking the promises. Well, these promises are what we live by. So if you want to pray, take a promise and plead it with God. That's what Moses did. That's what Elijah did. That's what all the great saints, Daniel and the Lord Jesus himself, spoke to the Father on what the Father had promised. So it's a wonderful thing to go direct to God. We've got to ask the Father. In one sense, we don't go via Christ. We go direct to the feet of God. But we don't dispense with Christ. Both are absolutely necessary. We come to God by Christ. But we don't just come to Christ. We come to God himself. And that is the difference. What I find is when you look at the Reformers' writings, they were full of God. When you look at the 18th century writings, they were full of God first. There is a tremendous emphasis on man today, but we come to God, and God himself is what we seek, and there's where our joy lies. Now, we have the Lord Jesus as mediator in my name. Do you know there's only one prayer in the Old Testament in the name of the mediator, the Messiah. Do you know where that prayer is? Have you ever met it? Well, if you look in Daniel, it's in chapter 9 and verse 17. That's the only prayer in the Old Testament which invokes the Messiah. Daniel 9 and verse 17. "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake." And that is for Messiah's sake. It's the only time in the Old Testament where there's a prayer in the name of the Messiah. And it's worth remembering that through the days ahead, that the holiest of men in the Old Testament, Daniel, one of the very holiest men there's ever been, prayed in the name of Messiah. And we come to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now remember that these men he's speaking to were still probably using prayers out of the temple. When they prayed to God, they were doing it like that. That's why he says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. They never prayed in the name of Jesus, and they'd never really come to think of Jesus as the one to whom they prayed and sought God. Now he says, ask in my name, and you shall receive. So that's it. Now, the second is we're to approach without limiting God. That's what is so necessary, that we approach God without limiting him. So that it says in verse 26, in fact, verse 24 at the end, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So that we are to receive, it doesn't say what we receive what we ask. And there's no limit put on the asking. There's nothing we can't ask there that's right and proper. So we're heard through the Lord Jesus, but we have this limitless prayer. There's nothing beyond prayer. And the third thing he says as the great encouragement to pray is this. He says that your joy may be full. Now that word full there means filled up. Like my cup's full and running over. It's being filled up. It's a deepening joy. It's a deepening happiness. And all of us know that in our Christian lives, as we've walked with God, things that once were wild alarms cannot now disturb my breast. We know that we've advanced in God and got more and more happiness. And what we want is to increase our joy in the Lord. They shall increase their joy in the Lord, said the prophet, and it's perfectly true. Now, what do we mean by this joy? Well, 1 Peter 1:8 has it exactly, and it's worth looking at. In whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So then, this joy is the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is what it is. Now, don't be afraid of joy. As C.S. Lewis had Surprised by Joy, his wife, who he met later in life, was called Joy. That's what that is. But we're not to push away joy as if it was something we shouldn't have, and we should be worried, and we should be down, and we should be anxious. We're to accept fullness of joy, is filling with joy. Have you ever known to be filled with joy till your heart could hold no more? That is what we aim for, and that is what we're after, and it's here very plainly. So this is what the apostles found in the Lord Jesus in Acts 2, when they waited on God, and then were filled with power, and saw the people saved. They were filled and swept through with ecstasy, with the joy and thrill of it all. And that is what we're after, this limitless joy. Now, if you want, and I'm closing here, Whitfield has this entry in his diary. Was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that all who deny the promise of the Father might then thus receive it to themselves. Oh, that they were partakers of my joy. Now the Lord Jesus Christ has offered you these ways to joy. Do take them. Do fill your life with joy and peace in believing. Amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.